you know, someone asked me yesterday, and they made a comment that this must be really small. You know, this group must be really, really small compared to the church camp that you just had. Well, we had at least 1,500 people come for our church camp just this past month. Yeah, but I said to them, it's a joy preaching here because you guys are hungry. And in a camp where you have at least 1,500 people sitting there, you know, you don't know what the rest is doing after you pass the first 200 people. So what's the difference anyway? You know. Well, I'm sure the team has been very blessed just being here. The privilege of just being here to minister to every one of you and to see that you are, in a sense, sitting at the edge of the seat, just gleaning from the Word of God, really thrills our hearts. Amen. Well, this morning, just before we return back to Hong Kong, like I mentioned, I want to just share from John chapter 4. And I want to thank our sister for leading us in worship this morning, because the whole theme of the worship this morning is about making Him known. Amen. And in John chapter 4, verse 34, let's turn to it right now. John chapter 4, could I have a little bit more volume on the mic? And a little bit on the high ends as well. I decided to wear yellow this morning to cheer us up after a long night last night. You know, Victor and Calf ordered the Nansha special burger, and it came past 2 o'clock in the morning. I was wise not to order last night. And so I reckon last night most of you could have stayed up. And so, I decided yellow would be a great color to wake you up this morning. All right, John chapter 4 verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Yeah, I like that. You know, it's not just the anointing to start, but it's also the anointing to end. Amen. And then do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for this whole camp. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that is here. We know, Lord, it is not a coincidence that we are here, but it is a divine orchestration of heaven for us to be here today. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would just touch and anoint each and every man and woman in this place. Hearken us to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you will anoint these lips so that out from these lips will come the very oracles of heaven. And Spirit of God, fulfill the decree of heaven for this day, for this hour, for this season. And so we thank you. We praise you, for your word will not return unto you void, but it will come forth and reap a bountiful harvest for your glory. And so to that end, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The background to this story is that Jesus decided to go through Samaria. And as Jesus came through Samaria, he came to this well. Incidentally, this is called Jacob's Well. This was a well that was dug by Jacob, the patriarch of Israel. And so Jesus came to that well, and it was 12 noon in a day, and Jesus sat there. And while the disciples went around looking for food, and there came this woman, this Samaritan woman, to draw well from the water that day. Now, it's kind of unusual for ladies to come up at 12 noon to draw water from the well. Because they just simply don't do that. The culture of the day is that they would draw wells early in the morning. When the sun is still down, they draw water because they needed the water to prepare for the whole day's work. You know, to get the boys to be cleaner so that they can get into the fields. They needed the water to prepare breakfast. And so nobody comes and draw from the well at 12 o'clock, because if you've gone to the Middle East, at 12 o'clock, it is extremely hot. You know, I've been to India, even Thailand in the month of April and May, and I want you to know it is extremely hot. Just running from the car to the hotels, or from the hotel to the church, just running in and out, you get a suntan. It is so hot. And so during those hours, it is time for siesta. And that's why nobody gets up. And this woman came and draw water at an unusual hour, 12 o'clock in the day. And there are reasons for it. Because number one, this was not a woman that has got a good reputation. In fact, if you know the story, this woman is living with a man who is not even her husband. And so to avoid all of the rumor, to avoid all of the stares of the woman, to avoid all of the harsh words that will come from the woman folks that day, this lady will come at a time when no one's around, so that she will come and draw a well. And so as she came and draw water from the well, Jesus began this conversation with her. And it's also unusual for a man to speak to a woman, you know, especially a Jew, to talk to a Samaritan, because Jews and Samaritans do not have anything in common. And so it was kind of unusual for Jesus to have this conversation. And then the disciples came and they say, "Master, we found food." And then Jesus turned around to them and says, you know, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." And therein is three very important things that I want to share with us this morning before you return back. And in a sense, the Spirit of God has already spoken to us through the time of worship. You know, the Spirit of God has already started the message. And so I am just echoing, I am just underscoring what the Spirit of God has been saying to us. So if you have heard the voice of the Spirit this morning, there is a voice in the worship this morning calling us to send the word forth, calling us to display the magnificence of God to the world around us, that they may see His glory. And so this morning, you know, just three very important truths, and then we want to flow into communion. And communion is really a time for us not only to commemorate what Jesus has done, but it's also to remember the fact that He's coming back soon. But at the same time, one of the important components of communion is to really to affirm the covenant of the fact that we are in covenant with Him. And so in a sense, we want to live our lives that the world may know Him. You know, and I want to call SP to three very important truths this morning. I want to call you to have an appetite for the harvest. I want to call you to be alert with regards to the harvest. And I want to call you to be aware of the harvest. Three very important things. To have an appetite for the harvest. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. The question is, what are we ready to do this morning? Are we ready to have an appetite for the harvest? You know, the truth is, a lot of us have appetites for a lot of things. We're always ready to eat. We're always ready to cash in the next deal. We're always ready to shop. You know, my wife and I, we're ready to shop. The moment we hit Hong Kong, we're ready to shop, because we're going to go to Shenzhen, you know, and do some serious shopping. I remember the last time my wife and I, we were here with my in-laws, with my father and mother-in-law, and with both my kids. I mean, we went out, we left the hotel at 7:30 in the morning, and then we didn't come back till about probably 8 in the night, dropped my kids with the in-laws, and then my wife and I just took off shopping till about maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, we are serious shopper. I mean, that's one of the things that she and I share a common sports, and that's shopping, you know. And we can walk 18 hours a day just shopping. So if you want to go shopping with us, you got to get ready for some serious shopping. Put on a pretty good pair of sneakers so they won't burn out, all right? We are always ready to eat. We are always ready to shop. We are always ready to do to open our computers and get our mails. We are very ready to just hit the mail button on our iPad or our iPhone. We are always ready to do this, do that. But are we ready to pursue the will of God? You know, Jesus has such a tremendous appetite for the harvest. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is not interested with material food. But here Jesus was trying to bring a point to his disciples that you and I need to have an appetite for the harvest. That's why Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his task. When I was in Bible school, one of the first things that we did in Bible school was to find a name for our class. And I look at the names of the seniors. I look at the names of the middlers. And, you know, we found those names not spiritual. You know, they have weird names. And so my class is an extremely highly spiritual class. We almost walk on cloud, you know. Because when we first came into the class, and I heard the testimonies of each and every one of them, they are really, really holy molies, you know. Extremely holy. And so we decided to have a holy name. And so the first month, we went without a name for the class. You know, we were digging into the Greek words, the Hebrew words. And so we found the name for our class. It's called Matetai. It's found in the New Testament. And Matetai in Greek means disciple. And so this morning, how many disciples do we have here? All right, every one of us should be lifting our hands. The rest, we will really pray for you this morning. You know. So we call ourselves disciples, and we adopted a scripture from Peter that says, Jesus suffered and died, leaving us an example that you may follow in his steps. And so throughout Bible school, we aspire to be the best disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, my class, I mean, when the rest of the classes were eating, my class would spend time praying. I mean, we were really, really spiritual. Because we really want to be like the disciples, want to do the will of him who called us, who sent us, and to finish his work. And fast forward from Bible school right up to where I am today, I believe that it is so important that we want to be spiritual beings. We want to be disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I've come to a place to understand that to be natural is to be supernatural. And to be supernatural is also to be natural. You know, we don't want to be some of those, you know, weird folks, you know, like, and they have all these antennas, and, you know, they're seeing demons from every angle. They're seeing angels at every corner. We want to be natural beings. We want to be supernaturally natural, if you know what I mean, and naturally supernatural at the same time. But God calls us to be his disciples. And as his disciples, let's learn how Jesus has an appetite for the king, for the harvest. I want to share with you three things that Jesus did in displaying his tremendous appetite for the harvest. Jesus had an appetite for the harvest. That's why he went around, number one, preaching about the kingdom of God. Throughout the gospel, you read that Jesus went around preaching about the kingdom of God. And he began to teach and preach about the kingdom of God. And I want to exhort you, SP, this morning, that you and I would also be true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ by having an appetite for the harvest, by preaching the kingdom of God. I believe every one of you ought to be preachers. I believe every one of you can preach. Yeah. You don't have to come behind and have a mic to preach. Because I believe that every one of you can preach. If you're a taxi driver, then your taxi is your pulpit. If you're a banker, then the table that you work from, that's your pulpit. If you're a lawyer, well, the courtroom is your pulpit. Because you can preach the kingdom of God. Your boardrooms in your offices can be great opportunities for you to testify of the power and the glory of God. Can you imagine the day will come when you're in a boardroom meeting and they're talking about certain things and they turn to you and say, well, you are a believer. Why don't you ask your God, you know, for something? I remember one time my wife was sharing with me, you know, in a meeting with her, with her boss and all that, and with this head of department. And during that time, it was during the Asian financial crisis, and I either that or during the SARS period. And she works in the aviation industry, and as a result, the commercial planes were not flying, so they were not getting enough business because they were in the logistics supply chain business. So her boss turns to her and says, why don't you pray and ask your God? What a great testimony, isn't it? But for that to happen, you've got to learn to convert your boardrooms into a pulpit for you to preach the message of Jesus Christ. I think it is so important that as believers, that we find opportunities to affect the world that we live in. That is why Jesus says, ye are the salt and the light of the earth. Salt and light has the ability to bring change in the environment. Salt and light has the ability to impact and affect the environment that we live in. Salt and light has the ability to come forth and show a difference in where we are at. For too long, believers have compromised their Christianity. You see, because we have been drumbeat by the world to think that religion, conviction, is a personal thing. Yes, it is a personal thing, but it must ooze out of us. If it is just kept contained on the inside of us and it never comes forth, then something is radically wrong, fundamentally wrong with our Christianity. Because if you truly love Jesus, then everything out of you will come forth Jesus. You will begin to manifest His presence. You will begin to talk about Him, you know. But for too long, believers do not live authentic Christian life. So we lose the right to speak. But Jesus went around preaching. I mean, he did not apologize for preaching the kingdom of God. And I think you and I need to find ways to minister Christ to the people around us. With our colleagues. With our colleagues, they need to know that we are believers found in, you know, we believers saved by grace. We need to be able to touch those around us. We need to be able to go out to our friends in the workplace and say, you know what? I know you're going through a hard time. Why don't I just pray for you? Yeah. Simple things like that. Jesus preached about the kingdom. You and I can manifest the kingdom. We can begin to tell our friends during lunchtime. You know, last week I was going through this situation and my house church began to pray for me, and God did a miracle. We should be ready to tell of His story. We should be ready to shout His fame about what God is doing in our life. We should not make apology for the fact to tell our friends we've got a revival meeting coming up and there's something that's going to happen. A miracle is about to happen. But a lot of us, we are frightened because we don't know how people will respond to us. I want you to know the harvest is ripe. We're going to look at that. We need to be aware of the harvest. I think it's time, SP, that as we return back, you know, it's no point getting charged up in this camp. It's no point just getting a prophetic word and we're excited. And then the moment we leave the doors of this ballroom, everything is same old, same old. We don't want same old Christianity. We don't want church as usual. We should be church unusual. Amen. We should be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be great if you come to the office and you turn to the person beside you and say, good morning, and they say, hallelujah. Wouldn't that be great? Can you envision that? The reason why Jesus went around preaching the kingdom is because He envisions a world that will bow then her knees to worship the Almighty God. And so we've got to envision this morning how our friends can come to know Jesus. I was in the Air Force. And when I was in the Air Force, I'm an air traffic controller. Now, the air traffic controller is not someone who stands there with this and do that. That's the traffic marshaler. An air traffic controller is someone who is in the aerodrome. And the best thing is we tell pilots what to do. Yeah, we tell the pilots, you got to do this or else, you know. And so I was in the Air Force as an air traffic controller, and I work in a radar room, which means I'm not at an aerodrome. I'm one of those that is in a nice aircon environment. It's all dark and just a computer screen, and we handle about 25 to 30 planes at one go, at one sitting. And I had the opportunity during my time I became known as the holy cow. The moment I walk into the room, you know, my Air Force friends and some of the officers would stand and say, "Oh, holy cow, holy Joe is here," you know. And initially I was quite frustrated, but after a while I realized they acknowledged Christianity. They acknowledged that God walks with me. And so I started noticing that a lot of them stopped their vulgarities in front of me. In fact, they like to say, "Jesus," and I say, "Hallelujah, you know my Jesus." You know, that put a stop to it, man. That's what I taught Chinin. Because she has some friends that, you know, she has some working colleagues that every time curse, "Jesus," then I told her, "Why don't you just say, I'm glad you know Jesus." You know, that put a stop to it, man. I preach the kingdom. Yeah. After a while, they understand. After a while, they come to you. I had a lot of Air Force friends that came up to me and said, "You know, I'm going through this problem. Could you ask your God?" And I said, "Why don't we ask God right now?" I prayed for them. That's why a number of them started coming to Trinity. In fact, one of our bivocational pastor, district pastor, who pastors the East District in Singapore, which is one of the biggest number of cell groups, happens to be my colleague in the Air Force. I brought many of my Air Force friends into church. Yeah. What a great joy to see many of them come to know Jesus Christ. What a great joy to see them get baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak in tongues and manifest the presence of God. I think it's about time that if we want to be disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's have an appetite for the harvest. And the first thing about having an appetite for the harvest is to be able to preach the kingdom of God wherever we are. Find opportunities. Now, I'm not asking you to be shoving the Bible down someone's throat. What I'm trying to teach you is to talk about God. Make God relevant in your life. Share the power and the testimonies of what God is doing in your life right now. Go back to your office and say, "You know, I just came from a church camp. It's so cool. You know, someone came and doesn't know me from Adam. And he spoke everything about my life." Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if you're going out for lunch with your office friends and you pass by this person who sits there, you know, wanting to read your palms, and then you tell them, "You don't need someone to read your palms. You just have to come to my church, speak to my pastor. And it's for free." Yeah. Shakes them up. I think it's wonderful if you and I can learn to give a blessing away every morning, every day. You go to the office and say, "Hey, you need a blessing. Why don't I bless you right now?" And just go up to your friends, you know. And everyone, you know, in Hong Kong, most people are religious people. They are deeply religious, deeply entrenched in religious belief. And so it's, and because of that, it is simple. You can just go up to them and say, "I bless you in the name of Jesus that you will be blessed with good fortune today." Yeah. Just go up to them, bless them. You know what you're doing? You're making a mark, an impact for the kingdom. You are literally preaching the kingdom in a very subtle way. I believe we can all do that. I believe every believer can do that. Amen. And so Jesus had an appetite for the kingdom as manifested by the fact that he was always preaching the kingdom of God. Number two, Jesus manifests an appetite for the kingdom because he was demonstrating the kingdom. Not only was he preaching about the kingdom, but he demonstrated the kingdom. How did he do that? He demonstrated the kingdom by healing the sick, praying for deliverance. And I believe that's something that you and I can do in a very practical way. If you have an appetite for the harvest, then you'll look at the harvest, and when your friends have got needs, you come alongside them. That's what it is. You come alongside and you demonstrate in a practical way. Give them a listening ear. let them know, well, can I have your permission to share this with my house church friends? And you know, we meet every week, and there's a group of people that comes together, and I'm sure they will pray for you. You know, as your dad's going through an operation, you know, don't worry, we have this house church group that will pray for you. That's a very practical way where you demonstrate the kingdom. See, so we are not just preaching the gospel, but you got to demonstrate. If they need a touch, you know, take a step of faith and pray for them that the healing of God will happen in their life. Amen. Don't have to wait for them to come to church, man. You are the church. You are the church in the community. You are the church in the workplace. You see, people cannot see Christ, but they can see you. So you got to manifest the kingdom in a practical way. You got to manifest the kingdom by praying for the sick, casting out demons. Yeah. I think that is something that you and I can do. You don't need clergies. Listen, the days of superstars are over. That's right. In 1950, there was the emergence of the evangelist. In 1960, there was the reformation of pastors. God raised the second gift. In 1970, came forth the emergence and the restoration of the teachers. And then came forth the restoration of the prophets in the 80s. The 90s came forth what we call the second reformation, and that's the apostolic movement. The Bible tells me in Ephesians 4:13 that it was He who gave us the apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so what that tells me is when the fivefold gift has been restored, and we know by the year 2000, all the fivefold gifts has already been restored. And so this is time for the saints movement. And you and I are part of the saints movement. You don't need a super evangelist to come in to do all the praying and all the healing. Every one of you can be doing all the praying and all the healing. That's right. This is the saints movement. This is time for the saints movement. We are in the movement of God where God calls His army together. And there is this mighty army of God, because I believe Jesus is coming back soon. And that's why we're taking communion. And Jesus is not coming for a weak, poor little bride, but Jesus is coming back for a glorious, powerful bride of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's why you and I are part of the saints movement. And the saints movement is that the saints are manifesting the presence of God, doing the work of the ministry. That's why I said this morning, you can preach. Every one of you should be preachers of the kingdom of God. Every one of you are demonstrators of the kingdom of God. So find someone. When you go back, maybe through Kowloon, goes to the hospital and start praying for the sick. Wouldn't it be great that as you're walking through the hospital corridor, the fluorescent light hits you and your shadow is cast on the sick and the guy gets up from his wheelchair? Can that happen? Of course it can happen. If it happened in the book of Acts, it should be happening today, because the book of Acts had no ending. It stops at chapter 27. Why? Because you and I are the church that is writing the history of the church today. We can demonstrate the kingdom of God. I'm so excited for the days to come, that in the coming days, the saints movement is going to be a powerful movement that will make people like Reinhard Bonnke, you know, an ordinary man. Yeah, because God's raising every one of you. God's raising every one of you. Every one of those kids that are running around in church, I believe the days are coming when all of them will become great child evangelists to preach and to heal the sick. Amen. And so you and I can preach the kingdom. You and I can demonstrate the kingdom of God. When we do that, it shows that you and I have an appetite for the kingdom of God. The third thing that we see, how Jesus demonstrated an appetite for the harvest, is that of transformation. And transformation is a powerful, you know, I don't have time this morning to just talk about transformation, because a lot of us look at transformation from a spiritual anger, a spiritual state of being. But like I mentioned earlier on, salvation is a total experience. And transformation impacts lives beyond just a spiritual entity. Impacts every part of life. I believe that we, you and I, are living in a time, in a season, where we will see mighty transformation. Where we see a transformation in the spirit. We will see transformation in the economics. We will see transformation in the social dimension. We will see transformation even in the physical boundary. Let me very quickly share a story. It was, I think, 1996 or so. I got invited by Peter Wagner and Cindy Jacob to join them in this conference in Guatemala. And so I went to Guatemala, and it was a spiritual warfare and intercession conference. And when we were in Guatemala, it was quite kind of amazing, because the president of Guatemala was present to grace the event. And he and the first lady was there. And after the worship, he came, he was invited on stage, and he welcomed all 6,000 of us delegates from overseas to this great conference in Guatemala. And after his welcoming speech, he sat down, his wife took over. And as soon as she took over, she said, "Hallelujah! I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. Pray for my husband. He needs Jesus." I almost fell from my chair. And she was jumping on stage, and she was exhorting the believers to bring transformation. Now, I understand the word transformation. I understand the word transformation from a theological perspective. I understand transformation from a cognitive understanding. But I've not really seen transformation, if you know what I mean. And so we had the opportunity during conference, on the last day of the conference, like this morning itself, we all woke up at about 4:30 in the morning, and by 5:30 we were all ushered into different coaches. There were at least 100 coaches. And we made our way from Guatemala City to Amalonga. How many of you have heard of Amalonga? Okay, two of you, three of you. We made our way to Amalonga. Amalonga is a little town. And in this little town, there are 18,000 people living in this little town, in this province called Cuasitenango. And if you understand the story of Amalonga, you understand that it is a story of transformation. And so, as we were driving into the province of Cuasitenango, we were passing through luscious valleys, ravine, and there were moments, you know, I was praying in the bus, because the bus driver kept veering towards the edge, and I thought my coach would just fall off the edge, you know, so I was praying. And very soon, as we hit the province of Cuasitenango, I noticed that the ground was very brown. There was no more greeneries, and everything was just brown and arid. And so the bus captain, that was from El Shaddai Church, from Dr. Hera Kabayaro's church, she spoke English, perfect English, and she said, "You know, we are now entering into the province of Cuasitenango, and if you can realize this, it is all brown and arid. Everything is dry. The ground, the subterranean of this area is so dry that nothing can grow." And so we started driving in, and out in the distance, because I was sitting in front, I'm the type that like to sit right at the front seat. And so I look out, and I said to her, I said, "I see a patch of green, you know, out in front of me." And she said, "That's Amalonga." And so then she began to tell the story of Amalonga. Amalonga was just like any ordinary town in Cuasitenango. It used to be luscious and green, but something happened in the whole province, and it began to dry up. So much so that no vegetation can survive in this whole province. She tells a story of how 25 years ago, pastors began to preach against pastors. You know, this pastor would stand up one Sunday morning and he preach about the other pastor that preaches bad theology. And next Sunday, the other pastor stands up and he preach against the other guy that has bad theology. And then they'll publish newspaper about what this pastor has done and that what pastor has done. It was a mess spiritually. Amalonga had witchcraft and everything. So there was no unity among the church. There was just a deep, deep, oppressive spiritual climate because there was so much witchcraft and idol worship. And so, you know, spiritually it was bad. And because spiritually it was bad, you know, as a result, the ground started dying. And because the vegetation started dying, they're an agriculturist society. And so because the ground started dying, there's no economic viability. So people were moving out of town, and as a result, the town became a drunken town. Dads would get up in the morning and start drinking into the night, and everybody would be drunk, stoned out. In fact, it was said that kids that were born, you know, were born into addiction, drug addiction. It was so bad in this place. The jails were all packed with all of hardcore criminals. When we arrived at Amalonga, I was amazed because as we were coming in from Kwasitenago province, as we near into Amalonga, about maybe 5-6 blocks into Amalonga, we had police car all coming. And so we were all stopped. So 100 coaches just stopped, parked by the roadside. And I remember Peter Wagner, myself, George Otis Jr., Chuck Pearson, and some of these guys, we all came down wondering what was the issue. And then the mayor came out from one of the police car, and he welcomed us. He says, because the Christian church has come today, today is a holiday. You guys were police escort into Amalonga. And so as we drove into Amalonga, the citizens of Amalonga in the city were just lining the streets and waving and welcoming the Christian community, 100 coaches into Amalonga. It was so exciting. Then they took us through some of the back alleys, and as we walked through, Carlos Anacondia was preaching. And he was preaching his great message. And then the coach captain turns to me and says, Pastor Dom, you must know, there are 95% believers in Amalonga. I thought I was in X-File. Because this is supposed to be a dry, arid ground, but everything's green. And now she tells me 95% of them are believers in Christ Jesus. And so what is Carlos doing, man, preaching to that 5%? So I sat in front, and all of us were given a VIP. All of us that were in the first coach were all VIP, so we all seated in the first few rows. But you know, being a backslidden believer and pastor in Singapore, I decided to not attend the evangelistic rally. I turned around to my fellow Singaporeans and I said, let's check this out, man. Cannot be 95% believers. So we left, and they were from other churches. And so a group of us, pastors from the other churches, but we're all from Singapore. And so I told them, why don't we walk around and check this town out, man? And so we went around, we discovered the street's name, Galilee Streets, Bethlehem Avenue, Lazarus Avenue. Every single road was a Christian name, and you cannot believe this. So I said to them, all right, let's start knocking on doors. So we went down knocking on doors. Now, I speak a little Spanish. And somehow, by the grace of God, God anoints me with that language. So I knocked the door and I opened the door. I said, hola. Hola. ¿Cómo está? And then, muy bien. And so we started talking. Then I asked them, do you know Jesus? And they says, do I know Jesus? I love Jesus. Hallelujah. So I hugged them and I says, glorious, Dios la bendiga, hermano. And then closed the door, went to the next house, banged the door. And the door opened up and asked them, do you know Jesus? Oh, we love Jesus. Strange man went out to the next house. Knocked. Every house that I know, everyone loved Jesus. Everyone gave you a hug and two kisses on the left and on the right. Yeah, leaving their saliva all over. You know, some of the grandmama, they've got no more teeth, so they kiss you. Yeah, I was wiping away, man, half the time. Oh, dear Jesus. Strange, man. I feel like Agent Mulder in X-Files. We regroup And I said to the guys, the streets are all Christian name. What do you find out knocking on every door? I said, everybody loves Jesus. Strange. And I can imagine every morning when they open the door, hola, Dios, you know, and they say, Gloria a Dios, and then they are praising God, and what a great town to live in. So I said to them, hey, let's look for bars, karaoke, you know, and lounges, man. That's the way. And we need to go to where the vices are. So the guy said, we don't know where to look. I said, follow me. So we started walking around, and I saw some buildings, some, you know, frontage that looks like a bar. So we knock and discover it's a church. Weird, man. Really weird. So I said to the guys, let's go to the prison, man. So we went to a prison. It's no longer a prison. It's not a prison. If you go to Amalonga today, that huge place called prison, it's no longer a prison. Ask the folks around, you know, what's this? And they all say, this is a community hall for the town. Community hall for weddings. Transformation. Spiritual transformation. So the spiritual transformation of the town brought forth geographical transformation. That's why they discover suddenly God opened an underwater spring and water gushed out, and therefore Amalonga is rich. Some of our crazy Singaporeans began to take those topsoil back to Singapore. Yeah, mad man, those guys. I didn't. So we decided to go back to the rally. By the time we went back to the rally, it was over. You know, it was lunchtime. So I asked the folks, you know, where's the lunch? And they brought us into this place to have lunch. But it is a marketplace. Where we had lunch is also the place where they have, you know, like in US during harvest time, they had those harvest festival and they bring out the largest pumpkin, you know, the largest, the biggest pumpkin. Now, in Amalonga, in the marketplace where you go to, I want you to know the cucumbers are the size of a baseball bat. Huge. The lettuce are there, huge, bigger than a bowling ball. You only need 1 fifth of it to make good salad. You don't need a big. And friends, it's not just one. Every piece is about the same size. Yeah, I'm not joking. I've seen it with my own eyes. I picked it up. And I'm not speaking evangelistically. I was shocked. It's like the vegetation is produced for giants. Who eats those stuff, man? They're too humongous. Ginormous, to say the least. It's just incredible. It's just incredible experience. The vegetation that comes forth is of a different kind because God has touched the vegetation. As a result, most of the people there own 2 cars. Yeah. Amalonga distributes more than a few hundred tons of vegetation for whole of South America. It is said today in Guatemala, more than 51% of those that live in Guatemala are all born again, Bible believers, spirit-filled Christians. Do you know that? Guatemala. My last statistics that I found out, Amalonga is 98.something% saved. Things are happening in Alaska. I can tell you stories of transformation. So transformation happens spiritually, financially, economically, socially. In Amalonga, no one goes to prison for drug offense now. You go to prison because you play truant from school. Yeah, they put you there just for a few hours. Yeah. So socially, it got transformed. Transformation is holistic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus has an appetite to see the kingdom of God established in our world. What does that mean? It means transformation. Can you imagine the house church in Kennedy impacting that community there so much so that the whole community of Kennedy come to know Jesus Christ? and a mighty transformation take place. Wouldn't it be nice that you drive down the road and you have this thing called honk if you love Jesus, and you honk, and the next one honk back at you and say, glory. And then you put out your signal wanting to turn right, the guy says, yeah, sure, please. Instead of cutting in front of you. Wouldn't it be great? It can happen. It's happening in Alaska. It's happening in Uganda. Happening in Kiambu in Kenya. There's a story of Hammett, California. That little town in California, Hammett, has experienced transformation as well. So I can tell you stories and stories and stories of those cities. Why? Because I'm part of the whole, I'm part of this whole spiritual mapping network with George Otis Jr. Yeah, just read the book, Informed Intercession. Go to the back page there under all the international thing. You see my name there. That's why I'm acquainted with the story of transformation. I call people to that work of transformation because I believe transformation is God's mandate for believers today. So let's have an appetite for the kingdom. Amen. If you're a disciple, then we should say the same thing. My food, which is my appetite, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Amen. Let's not be great starters. Let's be great finishers. Number two, let's be alert of the harvest. That's why Jesus says, do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. Open your eyes and look. I like the word, open your eyes and look. You know, every time the Bible uses the word look or see, it is used in a prophetic understanding of seeing with discernment, seeing with the revelation, seeing with a vision, seeing with understanding. That's what it means. It's not just to look. You know, a lot of us look to appreciate the beauty. But God is saying to see with eyes of understanding, to see with eyes of revelation, to see with an eye of discernment. The true reality of what it is. That's why Jesus says, do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. You know, the thing about the harvest is that agricultural harvest has a time frame. I go to Japan every year for the last 10 to 11 years. Every year I go to Japan a couple of times to minister to the churches. The average size church in Japan is 15 to 25. Every size church. If you are between 15, you're pretty good. That's a house church size. 25, you are a great church. But the last 12 years, I've been there helping the Japanese church understand that they need to be alert to the harvest. And this tsunami that has happened recently, man alive, God is doing something in Japan today. Many of those churches that were 25 has suddenly grown to about 125. Yeah. People start realizing life on this world is short. And so the Japanese started coming to church right now. You just read the story. Just go on the internet, Google, and you read all these great stories of how people are now flocking to the church in Japan. Like I say, every time I go to Japan, and in some of the churches, they have a paddy field. And most of the time, you see the stalks being green. And then it goes from green to and it turns a little brown and a little yellowish. And then as it's ripe for harvest, it turns white. That's why the King James Version says, white unto harvest. The disciples did not understand the concept of spiritual harvest. They only understood the concept of a physical harvest. That's why Jesus says, do not say 4 months more. Because that's the concept of the natural harvest. But the spiritual harvest can happen today, now. And if you are not alert to it, then you lose the harvest. That's why it is so important for us to perceive the timing of the harvest. And so that leads me to my last point. The awareness of the harvest. We must be ready to have an appetite for the harvest. We must always be ready to be alert of the harvest, and we must be ready of the awareness of the harvest. The thing here about harvest is this. When the fruit's ripe, you got to pick it. If you don't pick it, it falls to the ground and it's destroyed. When I first met my wife and started dating her, then I asked her to be my wife. I realized one thing about my wife. She and I are quite different in this area of animals called pets. She never grew up with pets in her life. Me, I grew up with pets. I grew up in a zoo. My home, as growing up, Dad would have something like 25 to 30 fish tanks. Every day I come back from school, you know, to help Dad clean fish tanks. And we were selling, you know, those discus. I don't know whether you guys know discus and the expensive fishes. And then not only did I have to deal with the 25 to 30 plus fish tanks in our house, I had four big dogs, a German Shepherd, a Doberman, a boxer, and a German Pointer. Four big dogs. That mom has two little tiny pup in the house, you know. So I take care of my four big dogs. I had to train my four big dogs, walk my four big dogs, play soccer with my four big dogs. Yeah. So I'm so used to fishes. I'm so used to dogs. And then we have birds. Lots of birds. Parrot, you know, the talking kind. You know. And so I'm so used to animals, you know. And then I said to her, honey, can I have a pet? No. Could be a Hainanese thing, huh? So Sarah, no. And so I decided one day, after many years of getting married, that, you know, I needed a pet, man. And so I came up with a fabulous idea. I got myself a hamster on my birthday. So I said to the birthday gift. So I had this hamster. But hamster, after a while, they don't do nothing. Just run on that wheel. Little dumb creatures. So I decided to kind of help my wife get enculturated to the fact that we will have pets at home. So we went from one hamster to one guinea pig. So size getting bigger. And from one guinea pig, I had two guinea pigs, three guinea pigs, four guinea pigs. So we had quite a bit. And then a couple more years later, it went from guinea pigs to chinchillas. Now they're bigger. And then from chinchilla to a dog. Hallelujah. So today I got a golden retriever at home. Yeah. So guys, if you want dogs, you want pets, or ladies, if you're married to somebody that don't like animal, well, you know, enculturate them through this process. Take them through a transformation process. So, yeah, why did I tell this story again? Oh, yeah. Now, during the time when I had hamster, guinea pigs, and chinchilla, I started going to this pet shop. And I'm the type that will go to the same pet shop all the time. And I only want to buy from the same person. If it's a man who served me the first time, I don't want anybody to serve me except that man. Period. If someone else comes and say, can I help you? I say, no, I'm looking for that guy. If they say, the guy is not here today, he's on leave, I say, I'll come back tomorrow. Just that. So that's just me. Yeah. So I go to the same pet shop, talk to the same guy, buys from the same guy, so gets to know him. And after a while, he discovered that I'm a pastor, and I started sharing Jesus with him. And he said, I don't believe in religion. Religion is for the weak. You know, that's why religion is a clutch. So, oh man, this guy is tough. So start working on the guy. So every other month I go and get to know him, and after a while we became very good friends. So then my chinchilla started giving birth. So I started giving my chinchillas away. You know, no more place in a home, you know. So I started giving them away to my pastoral staff. So I decided that one of my pastoral staff to come with me. And so we thought maybe two of us now can combine and work on this guy. So that particular day, we came into the shop. I was looking for Steve. So I said, where's Steven? And the girlfriend said, Steven is at the back room. You know, I said, can you call him out? I need to buy stuff, introduce him to my friend here, another pastor. And so she said, I'm sorry, cannot disturb him at this point in time. I said, why? He said, he's praying. I said, yes! Hallelujah! And so after that, you know, so we waited for an hour and then he came out. And I said, hey, Stephen, great to know that you're praying to Jesus. And he says, no, I'm not praying to Jesus, I'm praying to another God. Impacted me. Impacted me. I've been working on this guy, but I have not perceived the needs in his life. I wasn't aware of the needs of the harvest. And friends, sometimes we miss the harvest and we end up with a broken harvest because in our minds we think that that person is a hard nut to crack. So we never pose the question, do you want to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? And so I started asking Stephen. I said, you know, Stephen, you know, what made you become, you know, a Buddhist? And he started sharing with me how after a time of interacting with me, he started having this quest. And he started thinking about God. Started thinking about eternity. He started thinking about what life is all about. And I wanted to kick myself in the butt for never posing him this question. And someone else, and so he told the story of how someone came into the shop one day, distributed the seven precepts of life or what, something like that, you know. And so he started reading it, and this person came back the next day and asked him to join the temple. And so he started going to the temple. I could have asked him to come to Trinity. Then I could have free hay, you know, and free food for my guinea pigs, man, chinchillas. We missed the harvest. When the fruit's ripe and you don't pluck it, it falls to the ground and is destroyed. If it does not fall to the ground and get destroyed, you know what happens? The birds of the air has a way of flying into the tree and start pecking at the fruits, and that fruit is not good for eating. That's why Jesus says, do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. Even now, that's why Jesus said, even now, the reaper reaps a bountiful harvest for eternal life. Friends, I think it's about time for us to be ready to have an appetite of the kingdom. I think it's about time that you and I have an alertness of the timing of the harvest. The timing is now. That's why God says, today is the day of your salvation. I think it's about time you and I be ready to be aware of the needs of the harvest. There are men and women around us today that walk past us. There are people in your life. You know, there are people that you go to the same bus stop and you see them every day. Just smile at them. Go up to them. Say hi. Get to know them. And you know what? Just introduce Jesus to them. They're so ready for the picking. But we missed it. We missed it. And so this morning, I want to bring a closure right now and ask us to make a commitment to always be ready to have an appetite for the kingdom, for the harvest, to be alert to the harvest and to have an awareness of the harvest. Amen. You know, I didn't do this morning. I forgot all about it. But the last time I did this, how long did I preach, Cuff? Half an hour? The last time I did a mortality counter. Do you know, friends, that one person 1.7% die every second. Around the world today, and if you go into the your Google and you Google mortality rate or mortality counter, you discover that 1.7% dies every second. In half an hour, 4,590 people have just perished away. It's a running counter. So if I had started the counter from the moment I started this preaching this service this morning, in half an hour, 4,590 people have just perished. Every breath that you inhale, 1.7% dies. Every breath you exhale, 1.7% just pass on. What will it take us today to rescue men and women from the grip of death and damnation? We can, as a church, reach out and touch them. We can, as a church, through the power of the Holy Spirit helping us, have an appetite for the harvest, be alert to the timing of the harvest, and be aware of the harvest. That's why I said to Pastor Sam, could not every one of you from SP reach 5 this year? Can that happen? Can each of you just touch 5 people this year? Just 5, target 5, and say, this 5%, I want you to be aware of the kingdom. This 5%, I want to share with you about the kingdom. This 5, I want to demonstrate the kingdom to you. This 5, I want to bring you into the kingdom of God. Just target this 5. Start loving them. Start praying for them. Start reaching out to them this year. I tell you, the landscape of SP will change dramatically when you and I start having an appetite for the harvest, instead of having an appetite for ourselves. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to join hands with the person beside you. And just before Pastor Sam comes and leads us in Holy Communion, I'm going to ask you to pray for the person on your right and on your left. What a great joy to be able to partake of communion. To be found in the body. But what a great tragedy at the same time. To think that we are in the body and the thousands have just perished away. What a tragedy. You know, if you have never lost a loved one, you will never understand the profound impact. I pray that your loved ones will come to know Jesus Christ. I pray that your loved one will not perish without knowing Jesus Christ, because that's a reality that impacts us. And so today, as you join hands, I want you to pray for your loved ones, and then I want you to pray for the 5 person, and then after this I will hand the time to Pastor Sam. Come on, let's pray for your loved ones who do not know Jesus Christ, wherever they are. It could be in America, Australia, South Africa, England, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, doesn't matter. Korea. Ask God to reach them right now. Ask God to bring people into their life to preach the kingdom of God to them, to demonstrate the kingdom of God to them. Right now, pray for the 5 people. The 5 people that God has put on your heart. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Lift them before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. be beneath the Lord, be beneath the Lord. When will we realize He is the open door? Be beneath the Lord.
Oh yeah, Lord.
Be beneath the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, be beneath the Lord.
Yes, be beneath the Lord.
Be beneath the Lord. Be beneath the Lord.
At the end of broken dreams,
at the end of broken dreams,
He's the open door.
He's the open door.
Pray for the person on your left and on your right. Pray for them today that they will have an appetite for the harvest. Oh God, grant us an appetite for the harvest. Pray for them right now to be alert to the harvest. We will not be clueless, but we will be so alert, aware of the harvest, the people around us. That's right. Pray right now for an awareness of the needs of your harvest. They have got needs in their life. They have got tremendous needs. And you can touch them for Jesus today. Oh, Jesus. Use us. Use us, oh God. Oh, use us. Use us today. Yes, Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord.
At the end of a broken dream,
is the open door.
Is the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord.
When will we
realize people need the Lord?
People need the Lord.
People need the Lord.
People need the Lord.
People need the Lord.
At the end of broken dreams.
At the end of a broken dreams.
He's the open door.
He's the open door. And people need the Lord. People need the Lord.
When will we realize?
When will we realize? People need the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Dom. Why don't we find our house churches and let's gather around together. It's our time of communion, and we'll get the house church leaders to come up, and everyone else, let's just kind of get into your little house churches before the Lord. You're going to have a very, very meaningful time together as we share the Lord's table. And your house church leaders will be serving each of you guys communion, and so we can make some space around. Let me read the scriptures to us, and it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in the Lord unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man or woman examine themselves, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason among you, many are weak and sick, and a number asleep." I encourage you guys to really come, and you know, Pastor Dom did a wonderful job explaining what this means. Right? It's coming together as a church and just being grateful. You know, a lot of times we live our life, we get so busy doing our things, we forget that the whole reason why we're here, the whole reason we're able to live this life is because of Jesus. Because of that incredible sacrifice. It's a time for us, and at our church, we just do it once a month, but it's time for us to come together and say, "Lord, thank you." It's so easy to lose focus in so many ways. But it's also in the same way, it says, we do this until he comes. It's also looking for, it's thanking God for what he's done, but also looking forward to what he will do in our lives, especially when he comes to us. And so your house leaders are going to grab the elements, and they're going to take from the bread. And what we're going to do is, I want you to take a piece out of the bread yourself, and the other house leader is going to feed you, and then we're going to clean the cup. If you're sick, okay, we just ask you to go towards the end, okay? And I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but please don't backwash, you know, on that. We've done this last year, and some of us are not quite, you know, like we don't do this so often. And things, so just take a sip, and your leader will wash it. Don't worry, it'll be very clean, you know, but we just all want to partake together. Amen. Let me just pray for us quickly before we start. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all the wonderful things, God, that you express and display in our lives, Lord. And we're are here and we're humbled, God, by your sacrifice. Lord, we come, each of us, God, even though we're standing and sitting right now, our posture of our heart, God, is we kneel before you, Lord, and we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the blood that was shed for us, God. We thank you for your body beaten for us, Lord. And as we take of the bread and the juice, God, we remember and we're thankful, God. And we look forward, God, to when you'll return to this earth again. And so we bless you, God. We thank you, Lord. And I pray, God, in the partaking of the elements, Lord, that there will be something supernatural, God, that flows within us, God. Lord, let it be living bread, living wine, God, living juice in our lives. God, let there be a sense of the holy, God, that encapsulates our very being, even right now, Lord. We thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. House church leaders, let's go and grab. If you're not in a group, just get into a group, huh? The Sunday school and the kids, if you can hear me in the other room, you guys should be here as well.
Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Once again I cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross, thank you for the cross, thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross, thank you for the cross, thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for look upon the cross waiting. Humbled by your mercy and a broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
Father, we bless you. God, we thank you. Lord, we are just amazed, God, at your goodness over our lives, Father. God, and God, for the every second of our life, God, Lord, every day of our life, Lord, God, we just want to thank you by living lives that are worthy of you, God. So would you help us? Would you continue to send the Spirit into our lives to teach us and to guide us into all truth, Lord? Oh, we love you so much, God. Lord, help us as a church corporately, God, to live out the mandate of the Scriptures in our life, God. Lord, we are blessed to be a blessing, Father. So we thank you for that. We love you, Jesus. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. Now the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you hug your church mates? Bless you guys.